Hey, 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 guys. Welcome to Building This Community.
This is your city business and policy development podcast. We're your hosts,
Luke Patrick
and Andrew Klump. Welcome to this week's episode of Building This Community. Our guest today is Will Metcalf, who is the Executive Director of Research Development and Strategic Initiatives at the University of Louisville, as well as the Chairman of the Board of the Louisville Entrepreneurship Acceleration Partnership, also known as LEAP. Will, how are you?
I am fantastic, Andrew. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for joining us. I know I just gave a little bit of your background, but can you just kind of elaborate a little bit more?
Yeah. So, you know, my background, I'm a lawyer and an accountant by training. Started my career out, you know, straight out of undergraduate, went to work as an auditor for about 4 years. And then as I was working as an auditor, kind of started doing operational finance type work, kind of basic accounting audit stuff. Started to get into healthcare compliance work. And this was about the time that Sarbanes-Oxley was coming out. The Enron scandal had happened. And there's a lot of changes kind of in the healthcare world happening as well. Around like HIPAA and compliance expectations. And so my work was really shifting towards compliance and like the legal side of, you know, of the world. And so I thought, you know, okay, I want to continue my education. You know, what's the logical thing for me to do? So I decided to apply to law school. And so I went back to law school in the evening and continued to work as an auditor, you know, the whole time. And my job really shifted towards compliance, like I said, and I was in, you know, I became a compliance analyst and then, you know, kind of continued that path. And then in the evenings I was doing law school and I was loving it. Met my wife there and now we have 3 kids. Anyway, and in law school, I really got into kind of, you know, I thought I wanted to be a trial lawyer, you know, cause I had some family friends who were trial lawyers and I was looking at that and I kind of interviewed some firms and then, got an opportunity to go work for a health law firm, Hall, Renninger, Killian, Heath & Lyman, which is based out of Indianapolis. It's one of the, at the time, it was the second largest health law firm in the United States. And it was just a fantastic experience, kind of learning from them and what they do. Kind of, and then again, this was around the time of the Affordable Care Act came out, colloquially known as Obamacare. And so kind of got some great experience around that.
So I wrote a note, which like most of the time people think, oh, you know, it's just like a thing you do for law school. Like nothing's going to come out of that. Mm-hmm. But I wrote this note, you know, just because it was a thing you're supposed to do in law school. And it ended up being a whole career path for me for a little while. Because at the time, everybody in higher education was freaking out because they arrested a physics professor and put him in prison for 4 years. And so every, you know, all research universities throughout the United States were like, we've got to scale up our program on how do we protect our faculty so that they know what the expectations are when they're doing defense work. Mm-hmm. And so Bill Pierce asked me to come in and build a program at the University of Louisville. And I did that. And from there kind of just got into a bunch of other types of work with kind of tech transfer, which is taking the knowledge, you know, the intellectual property that's created at the university and translating that out into innovations and like intellectual property protection and also kind of the engagement of the university and the importance of a research university for the, you know, for the growing economy. So like in that work has just kind of grown and grown. So now I'm the Executive Director of Research Development Strategic Initiatives and soon to be Vice President for Research and Innovation. So that's coming out pretty soon. And so the career path is not one that I ever like really planned out, but kind of the training I had and the fit with kind of the connection to the community is what's happened. And one of the things that I got to do two years ago, the Cabinet for Economic Development put out a request for proposals. So the State Cabinet for Economic Development, they wanted to do cluster-based economic development. So meaning like, you know, what is Louisville really good at? And how can we leverage that strength to be a national powerhouse in something? And so I had this idea because of the work I've been doing kind of around leveraging the university assets for, you know, regional growth and kind of understanding what the connection between a research university and the economy is. I reached out to several partners and we put in a proposal to kind of lead that hub. And that's what became LEAP, which is the Louisville Entrepreneurship Acceleration Partnership. But now it's called, we transitioned a little bit, so Louisville Entrepreneurship Acceleration Programs. And so basically that's health-centric economic engagement. And so, you know, University of Louisville does $180 million a year in research expenditures. A lot of those are healthcare related. So a lot of the activity we do, you know, is around, you know, how do we do biomedical research and then, you know, improve human health in a variety of ways. And the Louisville Healthcare CEO Council, which is basically the CEO, you know, it's the board of that council are the CEOs of, you know, 12 of the largest healthcare companies in the country that all happen to be headquartered here in Louisville. So we're really fortunate in that way. And then we just decided to put an application to support entrepreneurship and, you know, cluster-based economic development. And, you know, we were awarded that contract. And one of the things we're able to do to hire some really, really talented people. And those are what we call our entrepreneurs in residence. And so at any given time, we'll have several entrepreneurs in residence that, you know, we're kind of working with to help us guide technologies that are coming out of the university and at the market. And so that's kind of where I am today, is, you know, connecting the university to the business community, leveraging the research assets that we have, specifically focused on healthcare, but really anything that, you know, the you know, manufacturing or whatever the case may be. I can give a lot of examples of that, things that we do, but kind of knowing what the university is good at and where we have strengths and our capabilities, and then connecting that to the business community for growth and prosperity and, you know, their you know, the company's growth. So that's the way I spend my day.
So just as a quick follow-up to that, who exactly are the partners with inside of LEAP? I think you mentioned, yeah, the Healthcare CEO Council. And then what is it specifically focused in healthcare, or is it more broadly focused on startups in general with technology?
Yeah, so LEAP is healthcare, right? So we only do healthcare startup support. And it's not just startup support. It's really all kind of business development. It's largely focused on startup, but it's not just startups. It could be like a growth stage company as well. But yeah, it's focused on healthcare. And then Amplify. So the first contract we got for LEAP was for broad-based economic development or startup support with a specific focus on healthcare, because that's our strength in our cluster. But we kind of supported everything. And then, you know, we spun up a new entity, which was LEAP, and that was with the partnership with U of L and the Louisville Healthcare CEO Council. We hired a guy named Larry Horn to run LEAP. And then the idea was, okay, we're going to spin out a new entity that's focused specifically on, you know, healthcare, and that's LEAP, and then have a broad-based entity that's Amplify. And so now Larry Horn has transitioned over to run Amplify, which is, you know, anything from back of the napkin sketch through Series A startup support. And then LEAP is back of the napkin sketch through unicorn in the healthcare space, right? And so, because, you know, there are unique needs for healthcare that, you know, that are just different, because, you know, it's a heavily regulated environment, and we happen to be really lucky to have some real talent and knowledge in that space. And so, that's what we do.
So how long have LEAP and Amplify been around exactly?
Yeah, so LEAP started in 2018, the very end of 2018. Really didn't get running until, you know, I don't know, February of 2019, I think. And then, so about 2 years. And then Amplify I think we spun that out, I guess, 6 months ago, 7 months ago.
Oh, that's awesome. So so pretty new, but it's good to see that you guys have got it up and going. With your experience, how do you think Louisville compares to similarly sized cities and its ability to foster new and growing businesses, especially, you know, with regard to startups?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, you know, I think we have a lot of strengths, right? Louisville, the city does. I mean, number one, it's a great place to be. It's a good place to raise a family, very low cost of living, but you still have access to pretty much anything you really need. You've got an airport, you can get anywhere in the world pretty quickly, but you've got plenty of entertainment options. There's nice diversity here. You know, it's not a monolith from culturally speaking or from a thought perspective. There's a lot of diversity of thought here, which is nice to see. And so, you know, I think all those things are, you know, real strengths for the city. And then, you know, my perspective, you know, why we launched Leap is to leverage the corporate cluster that we have, which really was entrepreneurial when it started, right? So, and the university assets for greater economic development. Because if you look at any kind of thriving region like Austin or, you know, Charlotte, wherever you might, or Atlanta, they all kind of have kind of some core things. And one of those is a industry cluster that's really strong. And another one is at least one research university. And so we know, you know, my opinion is to see the type of growth we need, those two things have to be in sync and aligned and working together to foster a cycle that, you know, grows talent, attracts talent, and attracts investment. And I think, you know, we can do that.
Well, we just had Dr. Ted Smith on from Greenheart Louisville, you know, talking about something very similar in the importance of research institutions to cities, especially mid-sized cities, and how impactful that can be just from a research perspective. But it is interesting to hear the importance of that in the startup game as well. But what specifically do you think that startups need? I mean, you have a unique perspective here, and you're talking about leveraging healthcare and the university. How do you leverage those, and how does Leap, Amplify Louisville, and the city, I guess, fill the needs of startups?
Yeah, so I think in several ways. So, you know, I think all startups need talent. So that's, you know, depending upon the type of startup, you know, it's going to need different talent, but they're going to need engineering talent. They're going to need finance talent. They're going to need management, kind of those types of different types of talent. They're all going to need that to grow. They're obviously also going to need capital. So you're going to need money to grow and scale and get going. And then you're going to need technology, right? And so, you know, we bring those three things. Yeah, the capital less so. I mean, we can help with capital, especially non-dilutive capital from a grant perspective. And then the last thing that the university doesn't really bring that all startups need are customers. And that's the idea with Leap is corporate customers and how do you access the corporate customer. And so that's what we're trying to solve with Leap. And I think we've got some really good programs to do that. And so, you know, if you think university obviously produces talent, we can also attract talent. And that could be through, you know, our graduates, but also kind of our faculty. And then we produce technology through our research. So new innovations coming out. And then we could also attract talent from an entrepreneurial perspective. And that's what our Entrepreneur in Residence program is all about. So, you know, we hire entrepreneurs to come in and look at our technology. And, you know, we pay them, you know, basically as consultants to come in and review our tech and help us develop business plans and identify gaps where that technology may not be ready for market yet for whatever reason and develop plans for getting it there. And so, you know, I think the university can help in those ways with talent. And then, like I said, capital, we can help with like non-dilutive grants, and there's like SBIR grants, which stands for Small Business Initiation Research. And so there's a lot of ways.
Well, hitting on that funding, I mean, we often hear venture capital as being often pursued by startups. What's your position on that? And do you think Louisville has enough funding as it stands?
I mean, no. Right? I mean, you know, you can never have too much money, right? So more funding is always better, I think. You know, so, and talent follows capital, right? I mean, to a certain extent, capital can also follow talent, but in my experience, mostly talent's going to follow the capital. And I can give you an example of this, right? So one of our entrepreneurs in residence, Josh Nichols, experienced founder in the medical device space, has helped us with a couple of really nice kind of technology products that we're launching. And he's got a company that's called Inhale Medical. The name is going to be changing soon because of a trademark issue, but and it's basically focused on helping sleep apnea. So it's an implantable sleep apnea device to get rid of the CPAP machine. And this was invented, it's a technology invented out of the Cleveland Clinic. And, you know, he has raised, and this is his story to tell, so I'm not going to tell it, but he's raised a significant amount of money, and almost none of it is from Kentucky. Actually, none of it is from Kentucky. And he lives in Louisville, right?
This is so disappointing to hear.
Well, I mean, it's disappointing in a way, right? But I think that's okay because, you know, you're not going to have investors for every type of company in Louisville, right? And I think we want the talent to be, you know, and this is where it's exciting because we have the talent that can go here in Louisville that can go out and make these connections to every part of the country and raise that, you know, significant amount of money. And then we've got that connection to, you know, the Bay Area and to Boston. And, you know, I can call Josh and he can give me advice on who to call about raising money. And that, I think that's a good thing, right? So, and I think this is where we got to not be parochial and, you know, provincial and think, okay, we have to keep everything here. I think we, you know, we grow things and let them go. You know, and we want to be known as one of the places where you can come and grow a great company, not the only place, right? So I think of like guys like Josh who, you know, have a connection to the city, have a family here, but can go out and compete on a national stage as a success story. You know what I mean? And like he can go out and tell that story and make connections to the Bay Area, make connections to Boston, and we can be great that way. So I think that's where the story we have to tell is Louisville as a node and as a place where we can be a great place to grow and incubate a company. And maybe you do have to go to Boston to scale. I don't know. Or maybe you don't. Right. But we're one of those places where you can launch from.
Yeah. And I think that is the perspective that has changed significantly in the last 5 to 10 years. And I think Leap has a big part of that in that people now here very much so look to the greater scheme of things and look less to what has been successful here, but looking more of all I have to do is make a connection somewhere in the country that can provide the capital, provide the connection, provide that step forward. So I think you all have helped change the mentality as much as you've created the opportunity.
Yeah. And I think that's all we can do, right? Is because, like, you know, we're only a few people. So a small number of people can only accomplish so much, but you can help spread the word and create positive energy. And I think that's a lot of what we do. But I mean, there are some very specific things we can be really good at. And I think that's what Leap is all about, right? Because we can be a national leader in the healthcare, health tech space, in the aging innovation space. So for example, I don't know, there's been news about a company, Familio, that, you know, is launching a pilot here in Louisville. And that's because of the work of the Healthcare CEO Council. And so, you know, that's basically a gazette to reduce social isolation and loneliness among the aging care population. And so, you know, they're gonna be piloting this intervention and we've got the process to study that. And so the university has developed an evaluation model to study this pilot project, which is probably one of the hardest things you can do, which is to launch an intervention in a nursing home facility and then to study it rigorously to make sure that it does have the outcomes that you're seeking, or even if it doesn't, I think that's a good thing to find out too. And so that's the type of thing we can do here better than probably anywhere else in the world, right? Is launch innovations in healthcare, in aging care. And we want to be known as that, right? A place where you can come and you can grow a health tech company. Because Familio is a French company and they're going to be launching their product in the United States headquarters right here in Louisville, Kentucky. So that's the kind of thing we can do. So, you know, it's a cycle where we're attracting companies from around the world and launching companies to the rest of the world.
Do you think Louisville should be looking outside to maybe work in tandem with other cities to find funding for projects that might help the business community?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think definitely. So like you can think of like Cincinnati, they've got a great fund called Cincy Tech. You know, Indianapolis obviously has a lot going on with Salesforce and Exact Target exit that, you know, created a lot of talent and wealth up there. You know, then there's Nashville, you know, I referenced one of our EIRs, Josh Nichols. He had done a lot of work in Nashville. So there's a lot of connections he has in Nashville and again to the California and Boston. So I think, yeah, that's kind of my basic idea. The way I operate is connecting to regionally, but you know, the cities regionally, but like nationally and, you know, eventually globally. I think we want to be a player. We have to be competitive on a global stage eventually, right? A place that people think of, not just, you know, regionally, but, you know, anytime anybody's thinking of where do I want to launch, you know, a company, Louisville should be one of those places they think of. I know that we have a ways to go before that happens, but, you know, I think we can get there.
Well, we've gone over a lot of things that, you know, we can do for our business community, but I think an important aspect of this, one thing that I like to think about is trying to make that growth kind of equitable. Do you think the city is doing enough to incentivize growth and maybe even health initiatives in the West End, you know, Louisville's kind of historically underserved areas?
That's a great question. I mean, there's so much that we, you know, the city has done and I think, you know, it's continuing to do. I mean, I think, you know, it's always going to be equity and inclusion is always going to be something we have to strive to be better at as a city and as people. And I think health equity is one of those areas that we can be really good at. And, you know, there's, you know, a lot that we can do as a university and in a city and a state to improve health equity. And I think entrepreneurship is one of the things we can do, right? I mean, you know, there might be some good research around an intervention that would improve equity in healthcare. And then how do we get, you know, if you think about traditionally from research to application in the health space, it takes about 17 years, right? That's way too long, right? And so one of the ways we can speed that up is through entrepreneurship, right? So an innovation that is discovered, a research, you know, product, whatever is discovered, how do we get that to market to the people that need it more quickly? And I think using entrepreneurship, things like Change Labs, you know, where you get the community involved, helping to, you know, refine ideas and innovations and interventions, and then get those more quickly into market. And, you know, one of the ways to do that in a free market society is through, you know, building a business plan and a business model around it. And I think, you know, that's good for everybody if we do it in a way that is inclusive, you know, make sure that everybody feels and is a part of that.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. So one kind of, I guess, catch-all, we've talked a lot about business development. Is there anything more specifically you think that the city needs to do better, whether it's through LEAP or through the city government or just the mentality of the people that live here to foster business growth?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're doing a lot of things really well. And I feel like there's a lot of great energy right now, which I think is the first step. And, you know, and probably the most important thing to continue. I think there's always areas that we can improve on to, you know, make things better. I can't say there's like one thing. I think, you know, improving access to capital, you know, that's probably through like the right incentive structures and important. There's a lot of good models out there. There's this group called SSTI, which is basically studies technology-based economic development, and they do a lot of policy work around, you know, what policies are effective and regionally, you know, in cities like Louisville, you know, with universities like the University of Louisville, or, you know, with demographics like the, you know, our state. And, you know, I think, you know, smart policy is really important. And, you know, how do we incentivize investment, you know, high risk capital investment in our state is really important.
And so I think that that's an area for improvement, continued improvement. I think there's been progress there, but I think, you know, continuing to kind of study the data around what works from a policy perspective and then enacting those policies is going to, you know, continue to be more and more important for us as a state, because ultimately, I mean, it comes back, like I said, talent follows capital. And so if we can, you know, get more investment here, the better.
Turning to the positions you hold, do you see any synergy between your role at LEAP and that as Director of Research Development and Strategic Initiatives at U of L?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, so, you know, exactly. I mean, so our my job as the Director of Research Development Strategic Initiatives is to engage the research community and to build collaborative teams around, you know, big opportunities. And so, you know, that could be an opportunity from a federal funding perspective. So like right now there's this NIH application that's out. It's called FIRST, which is about recruiting a cohort of faculty that a diverse cohort of faculty in the biomedical sciences. And so we're going after that application. It'll be a 15-month, if we get it, it'll be a $15 million infusion to help us recruit top scientists in the medical field here to Louisville. And so that's, you know, again, that's about getting talent here. And then that talent's going to produce innovations, which hopefully will, you know, lead to intellectual property, which then can then be spun out into companies that have to, you know, need to hire a bunch of people. And so that's kind of a natural fit. And then also with my role in research development is helping to kind of connect to the business community. And so providing the research services that might be necessary for a company to grow and scale is, you know, one of the things we do. I can give an example of that. Had a meeting recently with a company that manufactures tile, terrazzo tile. They're right next to the University of Louisville. And this is basically, you know, it's a tile that, like, think about the tiles you see in hospitals and airports. It's a resin tile that they put marble chips into. Mm-hmm. And they have this very specific research need that if we can fix this problem around the air pockets in the tile, it'll improve, you know, reduce their manufacturing time greatly and make them much more competitive. And, you know, they'll be able to compete more effectively on a global scale and hire more people, you know, that are going to need more engineers and all that stuff. And so that's the kind of thing we can do to support, you know, technology-based economic development. So we're using the technology we have here at the university, the scientific expertise, to help a company grow, you know, a new product and be better at the product that they have. And so that's the kind of thing we can do that's, you know, I think ultimately really powerful, because, you know, if the research university weren't here, where would they go? I guess they could go to UK or somewhere else, but it's great to be literally a half mile away, you know, where our scientists can kind of drive over there and see their production facilities, and we can build relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the role of the university is extraordinarily important. And I think that brings me to another topic that, you know, I experienced firsthand that I think was absolutely integral to my development as a corporate attorney. And that's the entrepreneurship clinic at U of L, which you also teach. And so that, I guess, just to give a little bit of background, that pairs the University of Louisville Brandeis School of Law with the MBA program and allows lawyers to have limited license to actually set up businesses and work with the entrepreneurs in the MBA program. What kind of impact do you think that is? And, you know, where did that inspiration come from?
Yeah, no, thanks, Andrew. I love the entrepreneurship law clinic, seeing that, and this is another talent thing, right? So, you know, we have to produce lawyers who are competent and, you know, understand business and know how to represent a business client and are excited about that. And I think, you know, that's why, you know, I enjoy it, and it's my passion to do the entrepreneurship law clinic, because I get to work with students who, you know, are really want to get to practice supporting businesses. And so the idea is the entrepreneurship MBA program out of the College of Business
you know, they it's a 2-year program, and they, you know, launch real companies around ideas. Sometimes that's a technology idea. Sometimes it's a service. We don't really know what the concept's going to be, but they're all going to need some basic things that law students can do for them. That's things like entity formation, thinking through basic intellectual property protection, thinking through things like a founder's agreement or an operating agreement. How do you distribute equity in a startup? How do you engage with a manufacturer? You know, maybe a manufacturing agreement. How do you engage with a contractor to develop the software for you? And what does a work for hire agreement look like? All these kinds of things that, you know, are really important to startups to think through that sometimes get lost. You know, if you have a founder who doesn't have a lot of experience, and that lawyers need to understand if they're going to be engaged in kind of the practice of the law representing businesses and transactional type work. And so it's great program to, you know, get our Brandeis law students experience, you know, practical real life experience representing real life clients in somewhat, you know, a low risk environment. But, you know, there's some real companies come out of that program too. And then, you know, the idea is, you know, with the clinic, I think we can expand that even more to represent other students throughout the university. And that may be an art student or an engineering student, you know, or you never know, like maybe an athlete who wants to protect his image and likeness, right? Which the new laws coming out around that in different states. And so, you know, there's all kinds of, I think, students at the university level throughout the state who need some basic support around what are the legal, you know, structures they need to have in place to, you know, be able to grow and scale a business. And that's what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I only saw it from the legal perspective, but I think what you are talking about is that it's more than just real life experience for the lawyers too. I mean, it almost sounds like it gives the MBA students that experience with the legal aspect that otherwise they probably only talk about in the abstract in class. Right. Mm-hmm. And now they actually get the opportunity to interact with lawyers and see and maybe have a more well-rounded understanding of how business works. Is that a fair takeaway?
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's experience for the MBA students as well. I mean, you know, sometimes you never know. I mean, some of these MBA students have a ton of experience and, you know, I've worked with lawyers. And you kind of know what that looks like and, you know, how to engage a lawyer effectively, and, you know, to advance your business. But a lot of them haven't, you know, and so it's a good learning experience for them in that way, too. Like, you know, because every business is engaged in the serious commerce is going to need lawyers, you know, so it's a good way to kind of get some practical experience on as both a lawyer, but also as a, you know, professional, you know, trying to run and grow a business.
Well, Will, I definitely agree with that. And unfortunately, we're starting to wind down the episode. But before we can let you go, do you have any projects you're currently working on that you'd like to promote?
That's a good question. Yeah. So, you know, anybody that in healthcare startup space, right? So if you've got an idea, or maybe you've got a company that already has a product and already has customers and already has revenue, you know, you can reach out through our website, which is LouisvilleLeap.com, and set up a time to meet with our entrepreneurs and residents, and maybe even get into what we're calling the chairman's circle. So we're setting up a pipeline to access the chairman's circle for mentorship, which is basically the founders, former CEOs, and now chairman of some of the largest companies that have ever come out of our city. And so you're thinking like people like the founder of Trilogy, the former CEO of Delta Dental, just some real talent that have agreed to step in and mentor and help guide and, you know, provide access for, you know, what if we can, you know, get them to that point to grow stage companies that need that help to get them to the next level. And so we've got a process in place to kind of vet those companies, but, you know, if people want access and support in that way, then just check out our website and go in there.
Yeah, I'd encourage everybody to check out the site. But Will, before we let you go, we ask all our guests the same question. if you could change one policy in Louisville, what would it be?
You know, I think educational access, K through 12, is so important. And so, you know, I have three kids, and, you know, I think we need to invest more in our schools. So, like, you know, there are, I think the last time we built a high school in Louisville was like in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And I live pretty close to Atherton High School. And I mean, it's a great school, you know, excellent teachers, that do great work and put out great students. But like the infrastructure is kind of sad, you know, the physical infrastructure. So that's what I would say. I think we need to invest more in the physical infrastructure of our school system.
That's a really cool answer. That's actually, I think, the first time we've heard that too. I really like it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you stopping by, Will.
We really appreciate it, man. Good talking to
absolutely.
You. We'll pick back up with our reaction segment after a word from our sponsor.
Luke, that was another interesting interview we did with Will Metcalf. I know he covered a lot of stuff in the healthcare space and in the startup space, but was there anything that really stood out to you first?
Well, actually, it was really that last thing he hit on, something he changed about Louisville, talking about newer schools. I think it's pretty unique. It's definitely not something we've heard before. And it makes me want to kind of look deeper into the state of our schools around the city and, you know, what's been going on over the last couple of decades, any trends you could find there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you can tell that, you know, most of our schools haven't been renovated recently. And I know they finally are working on renovating Shawnee, but you know, we haven't had a school built since the 70s. It's kind of ridiculous. Yeah. So, but at least hopefully they're starting to do more renovation and things like that.
Yeah. You could increase capacity with that without building new schools, but that is a pretty interesting thing to think about. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, jumping more into the healthcare aspect of it, I thought that it was great that he brought up, you know, the idea that what we're finally doing here that, you know, maybe a decade late, right, is using our signature industry or one of our signature industries as a major selling point to build and kind of keep growing perpetually like most major cities do. You know, Nashville, for example, has been having a healthcare CEO council for years now, and they also have a very strong healthcare industry. So it is nice to see him using that idea and kind of continuing to build our own brands again here in Louisville.
Yeah. I mean, to see that we have like an incubator focused on specifically on healthcare, which is something we've talked about on the podcast before, is like an industry that we as a city have always kind of had an edge in with like the companies we have, the resources we have, and the focus from our government, local government. You know, we've seen the mayor talk about an emphasis on healthcare policy and healthcare startups. And I think leaning into that gray wave concept we've talked about, we have kind of an aging population too. So it's great to see something, you know, a group of people coming together to kind of build up that industry and provide the resources and connections that anybody in that startup community would need.
Yeah. And I like that it's a quasi public private partnership too, in that the city has to get behind this. It has to be from a public policy perspective and a private investment perspective. I mean, that's the thing when we had Terry Boyd on. Now, not everyone's going to agree. You know, I think when Terry and Cheryl were on here, they pushed for the idea of doing more, you know, private, you know, leadership into the tech and startup space in Louisville. But with Leap, I think at least it's important to have that public backing of the University of Louisville, a major research institution. And then I think it's also important to get the top A list companies here, at least in the healthcare space, behind it. I think those are the two important pieces.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I thought that was cool. I thought it kind of made Leap unique and that emphasis on the healthcare side of things. I think another cool thing is that aside from Leap, they've got this new spinoff Amplify that focuses on more general startups, which, you know, we can't solely focus on one thing. I think it's good to lean into your, you know, what you do well, but you have to have a diversified economy to really grow. And it's good to see that they've got focus in other places. And, you know, we mentioned, I think in the interview, talking about equity in the city and trying to serve like the underserved areas in Louisville. And I think you and I, Andrew, were talking about like any ways that maybe we could, or a startup like incubator like Leap could emphasize like an equitable perspective in the startup community. And we came upon a new piece of legislation in Louisville that might kind of aid in that. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So they just passed, Metro Louisville just passed recently, an ordinance that requires the city departments to include in their budgets an equity vision statement and equity goals, as well as key performance indicators to make sure they, to measure their success. And so I guess the way that that could potentially tie in is now you're starting to get city support for racial equity. And what at least I see is that that could create more space as the city starts to focus on racial equity. It might create more avenues for the private sector to see room for innovation and room for a new service or a new technology to supplement the healthcare space from an equitable standpoint. So it will be interesting to see how those two maybe interplay. But I kind of like the thought you had too. Like it would also, you know, I like what Leap's doing. I also think it would be a cool idea if they could have a branch off that focuses on equity as well in healthcare, because that's such an important aspect. I mean, you can see in our vaccine rollout in the state of Kentucky or the city of Louisville that it came out to where the wealthier East End parts of the city were getting the vaccine at higher doses than the more lower income areas. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable.
Yeah. And I mean, like if they're forced to address this every budget cycle, and the council keeps a tighter handle on the, you know, different departments that they oversee, I think that's going to inevitably lead to a more equitable outcome. I think things like the inequity you just highlighted in the vaccine rollout probably won't be possible, or at least there will be a swift accountability if anything, you know, does go wrong in the future.
Yeah, for sure. And so it'll be interesting. I don't want to put that on Leap solely. I just
think
it's an interesting idea since they did expand to cover startups generally through Amplify. You know, maybe that would be a cool avenue for them to expand upon into the future. The other thing that I thought was interesting that he talked about was the funding aspect of this. And I know you wanted to talk about that, especially as
well. I probably could have hit on it more in the interview, but I think we've talked many times about the issues that young startups might encounter as they grow and expand. You know, your production costs are going to increase and your profits might not keep up at first until you've reached, you know, an economy of scale. So I think one of the biggest issues that young startups run into is ways to find funding to facilitate that growth. And I was looking at a broader article. It's titled Unicorns, Cheshire Cats, and the New Dilemmas of Entrepreneurial Finance. And what it does is try and lay out kind of like the recent history of VC and private equity funding of startups, and highlights trends in the industry. One that she highlighted, not as relevant to our conversation, but was kind of like the ability of companies to find enough funding to sustain a really long period of growth before an exit, before like an IPO or an acquisition or merger or something like that. So they're able to kind of stay in that startup-ish like private period for much longer. And a lot of that is due to the multitude of new areas of funding for young startups. You know, that there's kind of the traditional VC and angel investors. Which is
venture capital.
Yeah, to highlight, it's venture capital, and it's usually a group of investment professionals. Like, I think kind of the benchmark would be like a Sequoia Capital or a SoftBank. Mm-hmm. And they'll pour tons of money into a young company with the idea that it's going to pay off, you know, a good return on their investment, like in the long run. And then you've got angel investors, which are usually just like an individual will kind of form their own firm similar to that. But then you've got the kind of accelerators, which I think Leap kind of embodies that type of idea, where it might not be as much on the equity side and like the funding as much as the resources that they can provide for the young startups. They can make connections and provide guidance and expertise in different areas. All of those are kind of traditional, but you've seen an expansion in that funding arena in the areas of like, and they're really novel, and I wouldn't necessarily push these ideas, but like an initial coin offering. So getting into like blockchain and cryptocurrencies as a way to fund an early business, or mm-hmm. or even we've seen sovereign wealth funds take a dive into
funding. That's becoming very popular, actually. Sovereign wealth funds delving into that. There was actually just an article by Reuters a couple of days ago where I think Norway, which is one of the world's largest sovereign wealth funds, was pushing for more female leadership in all of the companies that they've invested in.
And you can see, with a pool of money that large to make demands like that of your markets, I think that's going to have a huge impact on being able to bring about the changes that those policies are meant to facilitate. But then I think the last thing that I want to hit on is, and again, novel kind of crazy approaches is crowdfunding business startups, mm-hmm. which we've seen it. We've seen it happen on sites like Indiegogo or Kickstarter, but I think there are more reputable ones like Angel's List, where it requires certified investors to actually participate in like the crowdfunding. So that'd be anybody with a net worth over $1 million or an annual income of about 200K. But yeah, so I don't know. I just wanted to highlight like this outrageous myriad of different funding sources that are available to new startups. It's more than ever existed in the history of the U.S. economy. And I think it's given rise to some strange market trends, like just the ability to stay in that growth period for longer to try and capture a much greater market share.
Yeah. And I think the type of funding is important to, you know, to distinguish between private equity and venture capital. Private equity is kind of the umbrella and also kind of its own thing from venture capital. Private equity companies typically look for a majority ownership where they can get a annual profit from the company, except in the case of something like KKR, what KKR used to do back in the day of, you know, buying a company, gutting it to try and flip it. Now you see more of the aggression in venture capital, which typically goes in for a minority share. And a lot of times they do it earlier and earlier. Sometimes they do it late, just depends on the potential return on investment. But then they're looking for an exit strategy. They're looking for an initial public offering, or they're looking for, you know, a tech startup that is going to get sold to Google. But that's not the only thing that venture capital provides. It also provides that mentorship, which is very similar to what you talked about with Leap, right? Is the access to distributors, access to connections, and the mentorship to learn how to do specific industries. A lot of times you see these venture capital funds in specific areas. You will see funds focus on healthcare. You will see funds focus on tech. So because they want to have the expertise in there. So there are different ways, but it goes beyond just simple funding. I know that's the focus a lot of times, but funding isn't necessarily the only avenue or the only reason that these companies are looking.
Yeah. You want to look at it holistically, like what everything that can be provided by this, like the different sources of funding, like what they each can how they can benefit you and you know, what is right for your company, you know, cause they all kind of provide a different approach, and you know, they might not even all be available. So,
well, and to that end, right? If you're getting the connections and the mentorship through Leap and the Louisville Healthcare CEO Council, that probably gives them more leverage when they're working with other sources of funds because they say, look, we already have these connections, right? So that should give them more leverage when they're looking to get additional rounds of funding. Now, that may not always be the case, but it should be part of it.
You'd hope so.
So it's still interesting too, that I know, like you mentioned, you were a little disappointed that like a lot of the funding is out of the city. And I think that's just a double-edged sword too, right? You know, when there's funding outside the city coming in, our businesses are taking off because of that. But then when it grows and takes off and sells or has IPO or whatever, that money goes, a lot of that money still goes back out. We still have, you know, maybe the founders here or whatever that make money, but it's good and it's bad. It probably takes a balance of both. You would want some people here locally to invest, not just like, oh, well, I want to invest in the hot Silicon Valley startup rather than investing in the local startup here. So it certainly seems like it's a balance, and Will kind of alluded to that a little bit too, I think.
Yeah. Was there anything else? You know, I thought it was interesting that you guys had that connection through that entrepreneurial clinic. Was there anything else you wanted to hit on about that?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too, with him talking about potentially expanding it. I think it's extremely valuable, not just for the attorneys, but for, you know, the students. Like when we work with the MBA students, they actually had to go through and say, had law students explain to the MBA program students why certain legal forms were necessary, why provisions were necessary. And it was just good for people to get both sides of it. His idea of expanding to athletes, I think, is a very interesting perspective, because that seems like much higher stakes, at least at the University of Louisville, because they have a lot of high profile athletes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can imagine some of those guys dealing with, you know, those name, image, and likeness contracts that could
become
thousands and thousands of dollars. Yeah. If not even maybe millions. Yeah. It's kind of insane to think that you could get, you know, young attorneys working with, you know, those athletes to try and craft something, you know, for them.
Yeah. That would be the part that I would hesitate with. It's like,
yeah, sure. That would be interesting to see if it happens, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Would you want student attorneys to be representing, you know, a $500,000 deal or something for a college athlete? I don't know. They would have oversight and everything, but it would be.
Yeah. There's definitely a mentor right there along the way, but yeah, I think you're making a good point.
But you would have the flip side of it. You would say, well, maybe the university has the best interest of the student athlete, and they're not as self-interested as the agents that are trying to do it. I think that's also an argument that could go either way too. So it's interesting. I wonder to see if they actually do expand that direction.
Yeah, no, it would be really cool to see. Well, I think we got a lot of interesting, you know, things to come out of this name, image, and likeness change, and we'll see, you know, what all it entails. But you have anything else you wanted to add, Andrew?
No, I think this was a very business-oriented podcast. I think it was a good addition to our series. So thanks for tuning in, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
As always, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us on Building This Community. If you'd like any more information, you can follow us on Twitter at buildingthiscom, C-O-M, or you can follow Andrew
at Andrew J. Klump. And you can also follow Luke
at LMP43. Definitely subscribe, and we look forward to talking to you guys next week.